Okay, that was a rare restart. Most people don't even know that it happened, except for my son in the next room and maybe somebody on Instagram. I'm not sure. If you're confused, that's fine. You have no idea. I could just pretend like none of that ever happened. But I like to be honest with you, friends, and so here I am being honest. I started the podcast. I had to stop it. My microphone settings were all wrong. But I fixed that, and now I'm back. And now that I'm back, let's just listen to some music from my buddy Rob Curry and the Curry Brothers. Take us there, Rob. As always, theme to the show, Link Ray Gunn from Rob Curry and the Curry Brothers. Man, we love that record around here. Oh, yes, we do. Funny enough, I always say Rob Curry and the Curry Brothers, the pride of Gravenhurst, Ontario. You know what else is the pride of Gravenhurst, Ontario? Sawdust City Brewing, and this beauty is one of their finest. That is, of course, Lone Pine IPA, a West Coast classic. You into your New Englands? You like them fruity? You don't like them too bitter? You're not going to have a lot of fun tonight. No, you are not. Now, why am I doing Lone Pine? Well, a couple of reasons. I looked through my notes, and I actually haven't done it in a minute. At least over a few years ago. So that's nice. Also, it was in my fridge. So that was nice. Also, guys, I am zonked. Ben and I were at the gym, and I am just worked now. My golly. I'm a crotchety old man, apparently. But anyway, I'm tired and I didn't want to have to think very much. And I was really tempted to actually just read a story and call it a day. And, well, that's not going to happen because I don't have the story handy. So we've dodged that bullet. This one's probably going to be sort of like a normal episode, just one where, like, I'm only operating at, like, 60% of my normal awesomeness. So apologies in advance for that. Wish I could say I was bringing my A game. Wish I could. But you know what I can do for the kids at home? Oh my gosh, I don't even know if I can open this beer. Ah, there we go. I got it. Don't worry. I don't need to ask my son in the next room to come in and open a beer for me, which would be a little embarrassing. Look, I even have a Sawdust City glass. Now, it's only a wee little fella, so it's only going to take part of this. Oh, kids at home, I warned you I wasn't bringing my A game. There we go. Partial pour for the kids at home. Sawdust City Brewing Company. God bless these fellas. Hey, this is a good-looking beer. It's a little hazy, but you can see through it. I don't know if you're watching any of the videos. You can actually see my face through there. That's kind of cool. Dark amber. Looks like an IPA. Nice foamy white head. Oh, yeah. So piney. So evergreeny. Like, maybe some peach. But other than that, not a lot of fruit. This one's not dripping in citrus. Maybe a little citrus peel. Maybe a little grapefruit peel. But the main attraction here is the evergreeniness, which is... makes sense. That's part of why they called it Lone Pine. Also, there's a road in Bracebridge called Lone Pine Drive? Might be Drive. A bunch of Sawdust City's beers are named after geographical features in Muskoka, and especially around Gravenhurst and Bracebridge. Lone Pine is definitely one of them. Golden Beach Pale Ale, also another Golden Beach road. Little Norway, I don't know if there's a street named that, but the Norwegian Air Force operated out of Canada during World War II. And initially their airbase was the Leaside Aerodrome. Did you know there used to be an airport in Leaside? There was. Anyway, then a pilot crashed a plane into, like, a residential building. And I think the pilot was okay, and I think the people on the ground were okay, but everyone got a little spooked. So they moved their airfield to Gravenhurst. and all the Norwegian pilots moved up there to be near their planes, and it was known as Little Norway. That's where that beer comes from. There's a road in or near Bracebridge, maybe, or it might be closer to Rosso. I can't remember, but I think they should do an old ale and call it Old Falkenberg, because it's called Old Falkenberg Road. I told Sam that about 10 years ago. He hasn't done it yet. So either it's a bad idea or he's a bad friend. I couldn't tell you which. Anyway, speaking of good friends, this beer, this is an old friend of mine, and we're going to settle in for a sip. Oh, yeah. And like that piney, resinous, evergreeny thing carries right on through. It's almost touching on like woody, like cedary. Lots of resiny pine. Little dank, earthy. So good. Less fruit on the palate than on the nose. I mean, I could maybe believe like lemon peel or grapefruit peel, but it's mostly pine, as it should be. Anything peachy I had on the nose, I do not get on the palate. It gets the crap kicked out of it by the pine. Oh, it's such a good beer. You know, when we decorate the Christmas tree at Christmas time, I always put on, there's a super cut of the footage of Nick Offerman sitting by a fire just drinking whiskey. And what's his whiskey of choice? Is it Lafroy? No, it's something else. It's not Ardbeg. Ben, you remember what whiskey Nick Offerman likes?
I can't remember the conversations I'm having 5 minutes ago.
Guest appearance, Ben Schreier on the pod. Does not remember the whiskey. It's not Lafroy. It's not Ardbeg. It's another Isla. Oh, it was on the tip of my tongue just there. Anyway.
Use the internet.
Ben wants me to use the internet. All right, guest. I'll close the door if you're not careful. Unfortunately, the Gen Zer is right. Nick Offerman Whiskey is, of course, Lagavulin, not Lafroy. I mean, it started with an L. That's pretty close. Anyway, I put that there video on. How about if this podcast was just the audio of me sitting at a computer drinking a beer? Occasionally I'd burp like that. Occasionally you'd get some slight ASMR. I think I got those letters in the right order. Little lippy, mouthy, swallowy sound. People pay good money for that. Maybe I should have an OnlyFans where it's just the sound of me drinking beer. I think I would need not to quit my day job. Anyway, what are we talking about this beer? It's really good. Piney. Not citrusy. Full on West Coast. Not particularly boozy either. Oh, look, Erica joined. That's adorable. She's probably doing the dishes. Or something. She's going to be very disappointed. This is a very lackluster episode. If she's washing the dishes right now and I'm putting out this kind of content, she's going to be like, I'm just going to leave these. He can do them when he's done this. This is not worth doing the dishes for. Not my finest episode, babe. So tired. She is too. We had a whole conversation after dinner, and then both of us sat at the kitchen table for a good 10 minutes, aware that we could just get up and get things done, but not really wanting to. You know how those days go? I'm having one of them. Golly. And I'm not sleepy tired. I'm just physically like, I don't want to do anything. I just want to drink beer. Talk about it, I guess. Hey, I'm going to read you the can. What do we got here? It says it's bold and hoppy. That's true. West Coast IPA. That's true. I always love, they give It's great. They give brewing metrics, statistics on it, but they use Play-Doh because that's what real brewers use. Home brewers all use gravity, but real brewers use Play-Doh. So these numbers have very little analog to most home brewers. Anyway, they say the IBU is 65. That might actually be true, and they've lab tested it. Based on the taste of this beer, if a home brewery handed this beer, they would tell you it was 90 IBU, but they would be lying. 65 is probably much more reasonable. It's just we're used to hearing these wildly inflated IBU numbers. This one's very assertively bitter. Not quite squeaky. That said, I have some bone shaker in my fridge. Speaking of West Coasts that are squeaky. Guess who's waking up with really hoppy morning breath tomorrow? I'll give you a hint. It's me. Here's the statistics. Have we already dealt with IBU? They list the finishing gravity first and then the original gravity. Finishing gravity, 2.2 Plato. Original gravity, 14.2 Plato. And the SRM is 11. That's the color. It's a numerical representation of the color. Has to do with how much light gets through it. Has less to do with the hue, more to do with the amount of light that gets through it. A little confusing. By the way, the hops in here are Summit, Simcoe. Oh, that could be why there's a little bit of peach in there. Columbus and Chinook. Saw a great picture of a guy caught a Chinook there on the fly the other day. Monster of a fish. Monster. I mean, Chinook do run in Toronto in the spring. I wonder if they're running right now. Trout just opened this past weekend, too. The main salmon run in Toronto is in the fall. That's a fun one. I've actually got 2 weeks off this year through my birthday. Might go down and do some upstate New York hiking again. Man, maybe I'm going to try and catch some salmon if they're running. My birthday is a little on the early side for the salmon run. It's happening, but it isn't like juicy yet. What was I saying? Oh yeah, we were talking about the beer specs. You know, I used to be able to roughly convert Play-Doh in my head, but I've forgotten what it was. A finishing Play-Doh. Oh, I think it's that you move the decimal two places to the left. So finishing gravity of 2.2 Plato is like 1022, 1.022, roughly. And if that's the case, then the original gravity was 0.142? No, I've done that wrong. I must have. Pardon me, I just sneezed. If you're tuning in, that was a sneeze. That wasn't Foley. Before Ben yells at me from the next room, we're going to say 14.2 Plato to SG. SG's specific gravity. Brewer's Fiend. Oh, yeah, no, I knew it. I thought it had something to do with multiplying by four. What you do is you multiply it by four and shift the decimal place two to the left. So 2.5, this is 2.2, but 2.5 is a specific gravity of 1.010, which is 2.5 times 4, and then you shift the decimal place 2 to the left. So before I look it up, an OG of 14.2 is going to be like 28, it's going to be 56, it's going to be about 57. So that's going to be 1.057. That's what that's going to be. Let's just look here. We said, what did we say, 14.2? Yeah, 14.5 is 1.059. Yeah, that's what you do, kids. That's what you do. You multiply Play-Doh by 4, you shift the decimal place two places to the left, and you stick a 1 in front of it. you're done. It's like magic. Isn't math great? By the way, that isn't perfect. That doesn't work right across the spectrum because it's a little bit like Fahrenheit. It gets a little wonky on the edges. I think. I could be wrong about that. Anywho, delicious beer. What should you eat with it? I don't know, something spicy. What do you want from me? I'm tired. Eat chicken wings or vegan chicken tenders doused in hot sauce. You'll love it. It'll be perfect. You'll really enjoy yourself. This beer available everywhere. Grocery store? Yeah. LCBO? Yeah. Beer store? Yeah. Brewery in Gravenhurst? Double yeah. How fresh is this, by the way? There is a date code on the bottom here. You know me, I gotta swing it around and find. This was brewed on 544668. No, it was brewed on March the 12th, 2024. Wow. It's in pretty good shape for a beer that's over a month old. West Coasts tend to hold up a bit better. Less focused on the aromatics, more on the strict alphas. Strict alphas, by the way. I'm not a pickup artist. I'm not one of those dudes. This isn't the Joe Rogan podcast. Tell you what, if the Joe Rogan podcast is the next up in your feed, skip it. You don't need that in your life. What was I saying? Actually, maybe Joe Rogan's got something on me. He definitely keeps his stuff together better than I do. I was saying it was driven by the alphas. The alpha acids are what give you the physical sense of bitterness in your mouth. Actual, you're sensing bitterness with your bitter receptors, which are not just located in two spots on your tongue. They're all over the place, including your cheeks. Anyway, when you get that actual perceived bitterness, that's from the alpha acids in the hops, which is odd to think about. Because typically we perceive alkalis to be bitter and acids to be sour. So maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. You know what? I happen to have the Oxford Companion of Beer here next to me. It's important to keep reference materials adjacent. I know I have the internet, but I do have a book. And it's helpfully alphabetical. Look, there's even, like, bookmarks in it from a talk I was doing. Anyway, we can just go to not Arthur Guinness & Sons, not Aroma, not Anheuser-Busch, not Andach. Oh, we're getting closer. Altbier, even closer. Allsop, we've gone too far. Oh, Alpha Amylase. That's a MASH enzyme. Nothing about alpha. Oh, no, sorry. I was basically looking right at that. Alpha acids are the principal components in lupulin, the resin of the hop cone. They are of great interest to brewers because they are the main bittering agent in hops. Chemically, alpha acids reside in the soft resin fraction, of the lupulin, which is soluble in hexane. I trust you're following this, right? You did chemistry in school? They are expressed as a percentage of the total weight of the hop and exist as complex hexagonal molecules. Alpha acid analogs include humulone, cohumulone, and adhumulone, which when isomerized in I'm reading this blind, guys. Give me a break. It's a hard word to say, isomerized to isohumulones, isoalpha acids, through the boiling process, bring, I've kind of lost the thread here, but when you do that, it brings bitterness to beer. Alpha acids in their non-isomerized form are stubbornly insoluble in aqueous solutions such as beer. What does that mean? If you put hops in cold water and wait, it won't become bitter. That's what that means. You gotta heat the hops up. It didn't mention the fact that in this context, the acid is bitter, not sour. I don't know. I don't write this stuff. I just read it. By the way, I don't know who wrote that. It's in the Oxford Companion. It's credited. I just never got to it. Brilliant stuff, that. Rare exception where an acid is bitter, not sour. Anyway, buy this beer. It's delicious. Eat it with spicy things. You'll not be upset with that. By the way, beer news, Sawdust City related. Do you love this beer? Do you love other beers from Sawdust City? Do you want to get access to lots and lots of this beer in the form of low-fill cans? Oh, I just knocked my mic. I'm sorry. Well, I've got good news for you. Sawdust City is hiring at the brewery in Gravenhurst. That's not really a makeable commute from Toronto, but if you're willing to move, rent is cheap. It's beautiful. A little buggy this time of year, but you'll be fine. And you get to work with a cool team of people in a fantastic brewery. And again, low fills. Need I say, by the way, do you know what a low fill is? A can of beer has a prescribed volume. In the case of this can, I believe it's probably 474 milliliters. 473, just to make me look like a total dingbat. But anyway, they check them as they come off the line. The canning line has an automatic checker. And if the can is too light, that means it didn't get enough beer in it. And then it gets shunted off to the side. It becomes a low fill. Low fills are what staff take home. You get low fills. The key to a low fill, you got to drink it quick because there's extra oxygen in there, so it'll oxidize quicker than any other beer. Anyway, check out Sawdust City's social medias if you are potentially interested in a role at the brewery. It looks like they're mainly hiring the event side, like the saloon, front of house, retail, etc. There might have been some wet side, as I like to think of it, brewing operations side. They might need a cellar person, a filter monkey. I don't believe that is the technical term for that role, but that's basically what you would be doing. No, cellar people also transfer beer too. So there's a bit of that. Probably also canning is an all hands on deck. So you'll be involved in canning. If you play your cards right, you can accidentally create a lot of low fills and then someone's going to have to drink those. Sounds like a plan to me. Get your resume in and tell them Chris from the Toronto Beer Podcast sent you. That's the only reference you're going to get. If they ask me, I'm going to claim I don't know who you are and you don't know what you're talking about. But open with that. Open with that. It could go a lot worse for you if you don't. That's all I got today. Apply for a job at Sawdust City. By the way, look at that can. Isn't that beautiful? They rebranded this can a short while ago. I don't know, a short while ago. I think it was during COVID. It's been this way for a while. This is maybe my favorite can design right now. It looks like a woodcut of a Group of Seven painting. I think it's beautiful. I think it's, yeah, probably the most beautiful design, label design, at least in the province right now. Top marks, delicious beer, love a West Coast. I'm so tired. Talked a lot about Gravenhurst. Why don't you listen to my buddy Rob Curry? He's from Gravenhurst, has a cool shop, recording studio, and antiquities. Some nice guitars in there, some cool audio equipment. Worth checking out in the old theater on the hell's the name of the main street in Gravenhurst. It's not Main, which is frustrating. Oh, I think it's the same street that Sawdust is on, but they don't have their address on the can. They just say that they're in Gravenhurst. So that's not a lot. Hey, I didn't read you the description. I read you the stats before we listen to Rob Curry and the Curry Brothers. Let's finish with the words of Sam Corbell, the brewmaster and a friend. Friend of the podcast, friend of me, at Sawdust City Brewing. And we will finish this not particularly dramatic reading with the dulcet tones of Rob Curry and the Curry Brothers. allow the words of Sam to wash over you. You approach the solitary windswept pine as it sits stoically upon its tiny perch of Canadian shield, and you wonder to yourself, why does this beautiful tree stand alone? Then, as you step closer, in awe of its majestic splendor, a branch blows down and slaps you right across the face. Lone Pine IPA is aggressively hopped and bursting with flavors of pine and citrus, loaded with mounds of hops and balanced with a blend of four different malts. Like that truculent tree, each glass is like a pine bough across your face.